Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia, and joining me this morning in the studio is Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Sam. How are you doing this fine day?
I'm doing great this beautiful fall autumn day. I've got to start off that way. Also joining us is Brad Culp in Dallas, Texas. Brad, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Sam missed you today, Brad. With you not being here, he barely knew what to do.
Well, you know, somebody has to help him out. His wife helps him in the morning, and the office staff helps him when he gets in the office. I'm not sure how he goes in between the two.
And to think that you hired me too, right?
You were thrust upon me, as I recall.
Brad told me you stalked him for months.
That's right.
Until he wore him down.
What's going on in Dallas, Brad?
Oh, well, I don't know if any of y'all watched the ball game last night, but the Rangers are amazing. And, you know, I'm not particularly get in trouble for saying this. I'm not particularly a Rangers fan, but typically my favorite team is any team that's playing the Yankees. So
now you are.
I'm doing so well here, and hopefully they're going to put it away today.
You know, last week you got yourself in trouble with the Atlanta Braves. Now you're getting yourself in trouble with the Rangers. I suggest that you find something else to talk about.
Well, I do have a little bit of baseball trivia here, and then we're going to move to music trivia before we actually get on with our show this morning. Bob Shepard was an announcer for the Yankees, and he died earlier this year. He would have been 100 years old today had he lived. And Mickey Mantle would have been 79 today. He died in 1995, but I'm sure everybody remembers Mickey Mantle, at least most people. On the music scene, Tom Petty turned 60 today. So
60 years old. Wow.
Senior citizenry. And then 33 years ago today, Ronnie Van Zant and a couple other guys from Lynyrd Skynyrd went down in a plane crash. So that's our trivia for today.
On and, Tom Petty's we'll birthday. They died.
Tom Petty's birthday.
Wow.
It's hard to believe he's 60.
It is. I went to school at University of Florida in Gainesville, and he was from there, so he was like the
You know, I saw him
on
the Super Bowl halftime show a year or two ago, and he just didn't look 60. He looked older, but he didn't look 60 to me.
Good stuff there.
Anyway, we've got a terrific show today. In Atlanta, we have two people from Interim Healthcare. We've got Yoko Ellison and Melody Juno. And here in Dallas with me, we have Lori Schulock from WellAware Systems. And so we're going to jump right into it. Good morning.
Good morning.
Lori. I almost called you Melody. And we always make these mistakes, and we do it on purpose so that our guests feel more comfortable. So
Some of us do it on purpose.
Yeah, okay. Some of us can't help ourselves, right, Sam?
Some of us do it on purpose.
So good morning, Lori. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
So, Lori, before we talk about WellAware Systems, just give us a little bit of your background. Tell us where you're from, where you went to school, how you got to be where you are now.
I was originally a military brat, so ended up here in Texas and did my undergraduate degree at University of North Texas. I have a bachelor's in science with an emphasis on gerontology and sales and marketing. I've actually been in the business for about 22 years. Started off very young, straight out of high school as a caregiver. And I was a caregiver in one of the first assisted living communities in Denton, Texas. So I have experience from hands-on, and with that I've learned, I think, a great deal in the industry, not only in assisted living, but healthcare in general.
So you were a caregiver, I'm sorry, did you say right out of high school? Or
Correct.
That seems like kind of an unusual choice for a high school graduate. How did that happen? Was there a personal story there, an experience?
I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, and my grandparents were older, so I've always been influenced by senior adults. Actually had been in the retail industry and got fired from my first job ever, straight out of high school. Walked into a nursing home and said, I think I want to do this for a living. So they put me in the assisted living area and fell in love with the seniors, fell in love with everything about the family environment, and went to school the next day at University of North Texas and changed my degree.
Wow. How about that? So then you graduated from UNT, and then where did you go after that?
I actually decided that I'd been in the provider world for a while and wanted to see what the other side lived like. So I went to the government, and I went to work for the local area agency on aging. And I worked for them for a couple of years as a regional ombudsman. I covered nursing homes within a 17-county area in Texas. And from that, then started the first advocacy program for assisted living in the state of Texas.
As an ombudsman, I'm sure you saw a lot of interesting stuff. And for those of our listeners that don't know, tell us what an ombudsman is, what they do, and just give us a little insight into that part of your career.
The ombudsman is a patient or resident advocate for senior adults or anyone that would be living in some sort of long-term care facility. It started originally in nursing homes, but now they've branched out to assisted living, dementia care communities, board and care homes as well. So we actually developed the program specifically for assisted living because before, there just weren't enough resources for people to go into AL communities, and the regulations back in those days really didn't exist either. There are no federal regulations. The state regulations were very few and far between. So we helped in Texas to develop those regulations specific for assisted living. Did that for a while and then realized that I could make more of a difference going to work for the private sector, so went back into the community level then.
And so you went back into community level with assisted living?
Correct. With assisted living, did executive director positions, eventually went into regional director of operations and sales and marketing, and have seen the industry grow significantly and the quality of care continue to grow.
Interesting. What do you attribute the growth and the quality of care?
I think the biggest thing is everyone's realized that they have to be different, that we have to figure out as people continue to age in place and our society continues to get older with the baby boom population coming in, we've got to figure out how we're going to be different and better than everyone else. And so companies then compete against one another, but their primary goal in the long run is to make sure that the residents are taken care of in a respectful, caregiving manner.
Okay. So I happen to know that, and obviously we've had this conversation before, that one of the ways that many companies are looking at improving the quality of care is through technology. And so you made a leap from the provider community into a technology company now, essentially. So tell us a little bit about that. How did you get to Well Aware Systems, and just give us an overview of what you do?
Well, being a provider for the last 20, 22 years, you start to realize that you do have to change. And we all know change is hard, but change is also inevitable. And for the most part, change can be good. So with the new generations that are coming up, there were people out there within the technology industry that decided we needed to figure out what was different and how we could continue to support our caregivers, whether it be in a community or with a healthcare company or with a home care company, to better provide quality of care for their residents and their patients. So I was approached by Well Aware Systems. They have actually been around for several years in development of their sensor technology, but have gone openly selling to community within the last year and a half. And we look at our sensor technology as like the check engine light on your car. You have sensors that are on your dashboard that, for the most part, stay black. Everything's fine. But say you have a car that's 10 years old and has about 100,000 miles on it, and your check engine light comes on. What are you going to do? Hopefully, you're going to take it to the mechanic.
Well, I have a 10-year-old car with 180,000 miles on it, and I'm ignoring that light because I know what it is.
Exactly. So. And unfortunately, too many times that's what people do. But for those people, you can even look at it as, let's say your gas light comes on.
Right.
You know your car is going empty. So you're going to take it in and get gas in it, correct? That's the same thing that we do. We are a passive sensoring and monitoring that we take patients, residents, seniors' everyday trends, behaviors, and patterns, and we continue to monitor them through our sensor technology. And we can see when things start to go abnormal. We can see when the gas gauge is running low or that check engine light comes on by a difference in what their normal behaviors are.
So let me stop you for a minute. You used an important word here, passive sensoring and monitoring. So tell us what that means and why is that important?
Well, we know from past experience that there's so many seniors that are scared by technology. They don't want Big Brother to be watching them. And so we've chosen an approach that uses no cameras, uses nothing that you wear. It just simply is placed around your apartment without wires, with motion sensors, humidity detectors, stove sensors, impact sensors, contact sensors for doors, as well as the sleep sensor. And the big key that we really focus on is our sleep sensor. With a sleep sensor, you can actually monitor the quality of sleep that these residents are getting on a nightly basis.
So tell us how that's done. How do you passively monitor somebody's sleep?
We have a sensor that lays on the bed that goes underneath an inch and a half of cushioning. And as long as the resident is laying there in contact with it, we're going to be able to monitor that sleep. Not just are they in bed, which so many other people can do. You might have a load of laundry that's on bed and it would still register someone's there. Ours actually tells us they're sleeping, they're restless, they're sleeping soundly when they get up to bed. When they get up from bed, they might go into the bathroom and then come back. It tells us how long they've been up. So we use that in coordination with the motion sensors to give us an idea of what one's normal patterns and normal behaviors are.
So is it like a ribbon that goes underneath the
Somewhat
pad?
Similar, yes. It's just a cushion, maybe a quarter of an inch thick. You can't feel it. You can't see it. They don't know it's there.
So it senses motion across the width of the bed? And
it senses motion, but it also senses their breathing, their pulse, their heartbeat.
Oh, wow.
We get within two beats per minute of the actual heartbeat of an EKG. So we can tell when they're sleeping in REM quality sleep, which, you know, especially with kids, is so important, because if you don't get a good quality night's sleep, think back to the days when your wife first had her kids and she's up every 2 hours, and we know in our industry that our seniors are woken up quite a bit, especially when they're in a community.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting that good quality sleep. Your health begins to deteriorate. One of the first things that happens is your confusion level grows, increases. You are more susceptible by 50% to viral infections, to heart attacks, to strokes. There are so many things that can happen when that sleep is reduced. And so many people nowadays think that seniors don't need as much sleep. It's not that they don't need as much sleep, but they need good quality of sleep. And one out of eight, every seniors do not get enough sleep.
Well, that's interesting.
And then,
because they have all the time in the world to sleep.
You think so. But then even of that number, probably 75% of them don't self-report or can't self-report. So when you go to a senior and you say, how'd you sleep last night? They say, oh, great.
fine.
Exactly.
Just like my kids, fine.
Right.
So you mentioned a humidity sensor. What's that used for?
That is for enabling us to look and see if that resident or that client is bathing themselves. If they're not, once again, in our industry, we know that so many times our seniors say, oh, yeah, I took a bath, I took a shower, and we find out, in fact, that they're not, that maybe they're just going to the sink and kind of washing off. We know how important it is to make sure that we get clean. So that helps us to reinforce conversations that you have. If you have a caregiver go into a house and the resident supposedly bathing themselves, you can actually take that information that's detailed onto the web-based page and say, Mrs. Smith, I know you haven't had a shower for the past 3 weeks. Based on this information, your humidity sensor has not gone off.
So now it's the son or daughter saying to the parent, don't you lie to me, young man.
Role reversal.
I know. Exactly. I know if you took a shower.
Exactly. And that's so hard. It's such a hard conversation to have with our seniors, whether they be parents or aunts or uncles or close family friends, because you don't want them to lose their independence, and that's the last thing that they want. And so that's why they don't self-report so many of these things.
So you're collecting, and there's a, it sounds like, a ton of information that's being collected. What happens to it, and who's monitoring it?
You actually monitor as a company, whether it be a healthcare company, a home care company, an assisted living, or an independent living community. The information is just like the dashboard on our car. It's triaged very simply the first page into a stoplight, red, yellow, and green. So you know when you go in and you spend 10 minutes each morning and you look at, you might have 100 clients on the system, you can look and see, okay, they're green, they're good. They're yellow, I need to look at it. And if you see someone in red for a series of 1 or 2 days, you're going to want to take a deeper dive into it. Families can even have access on the web page to see the information as well.
So can I know that your primary market is to companies, organizations. Can individuals buy this from you, or do they have to go through a distributor of some kind?
They have to go through a distributor. We want to make sure that there's a professional caregiver that's going to be that middle of line.
Gotcha.
Just as you do with your car, you take it to the mechanic, because the mechanic is the expert that can help take that deeper dive in the information and figure out what's going wrong with your car. You as the provider then are that expert that can help gather that information and make a determination about your client as what's next out. Is it a medication interference? Is it possibly a urinary tract infection? So you can make those determinations.
Now, when you and I talked the first time, my original thought, and I'm sure our listeners are thinking, boy, that sounds expensive. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, so if you don't want to answer the question, just say no. But, you know, I was surprised that I thought it would be more expensive than it was. And do you mind talking about what it costs to install and what the monitoring typically costs?
We do a 2-year contract, and as I said, we do it with the provider itself. So most providers are purchasing anywhere between 20 units would be the smallest amount on up. We have several communities that have actually installed it into their entire community. We have been working with Good Samaritan Society and Volunteers of America for the past couple of years, and they have, GSS has about 1,600 units that we're going to be putting in all areas of the continuum, home care as well as the actual facility setting. So it depends on the amount that the provider actually purchases, but saying on a regular basis, you could do it for about $150 a month with a 2-year commitment.
So, I mean, even though that's a lot of money, when you look at the overall cost of care, if you can help somebody stay in their home rather than go to an assisted living or a skilled nursing facility, you know, it's...
It outweighs it, right.
Yeah, 50 divided by 30, what's that?
Mathematician, I'm not.
150 divided by 30, 15 divided by 3, $5 a day. So,
right.
At the end of the day, it's not all that expensive given the quality of information that comes out as a result.
And if you look at it from the other area of what it's actually saving you in the long run, on average, our seniors at this point in time, anyone aged over the age of 65 has an average of 3 ER trips each year. So
I'm sorry, over the age of 65?
Over the age of 65, has an average of three ER trips. So if you look at that information and you think about how much it costs, even with Medicare and insurance, you know, helping out, you're looking at probably $1,200 for one ER trip per year. Mm-hmm. So this actually, we've done studies this past year that has shown that it has reduced in the people that we studied the ER trips and the doctor's visits by 75%.
Because you have information up front.
Right. You catch it before it becomes a huge issue. And so we're able to save people money in the long run.
Do you have any, I know you haven't been with WellAware too awfully long, but are there any stories that you've, you know, examples of how you've been able to help individuals?
Definitely.
Share with us?
That's one of the things that we pride ourselves in with the pilots and the programs that we're doing right now in our partnerships is we share our stories. We had one lady that just really stands out to me that was in an independent living section. She was in a condo by herself, but she still had a home care company that was coming in and checking on her medications, setting them up once every couple of weeks, and just doing a once every other week nursing visit. And the nurse had come to her with information that she'd printed out on the web page that showed she was not sleeping at night. She'd gone for 4 days without sleeping more than maybe 2.5 hours each night. Mm. Immediately after the fourth day, her trips to the bathroom had increased significantly. So the nurse then sat down with her, and rather than saying, "How did you sleep last night?" she said, "Mrs. Smith, I see that you haven't slept but 2.5-3 hours over the past 4 nights, and that now your bathroom visits have increased. Tell me what's going on." The lady then responded saying, "You know what, you're right." She said, "I'm seeing the circus on the ceiling." Well, what we found out after the nurse then took a deeper dive was she'd gone to a new physician who'd prescribed her some different psychotropic medications and had not checked with the other doc to see what she was currently taking, and they had a medication interaction.
Oh, no.
So within 12 hours, she'd been off the new medication. Within the next 2 days, she was fine. She then went back to the nurse and said, "You know what, thank you so much," because she was afraid by giving that information that they were going to put her away. That was her fear, was they were going to take her independence away and make her move into some sort of community. So it was able to salvage that. The nurse was able to intercede beforehand and keep her home where she was happy and comfortable.
Terrific. So, Lori, for our listeners that are dealing with seniors, loved ones that may be experiencing some issues at home that concern them, what bit of advice would you have for them?
Don't try to do it alone. I think that we too many times think we have an obligation to take care of things ourselves, but with most of our normal people out there, most of our providers of care are women that are still working, that have grandkids, as well as parents or parent-in-laws that they're trying to do. So make sure that you reach out to your local resources. There's so many people out there that can help put you in touch with different agencies and organizations that can help make that transition smoother.
That's good advice. It's amazing how many times over the last year, and by the way, it's either this week or next week that we're celebrating our 1 year on Ujiri. I'll have to check that. It might be next week. But over the course of the year, we ask the same question of every guest. And without doing a scientific analysis, I would have to say that piece of advice by far is the most common piece of advice we've heard. The thing that's startling about it is you have to keep saying it because for whatever reason, people aren't getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So, for our listeners that would be interested in reaching you, how might they do that?
The best and easiest way is going to be on the webpage. You go to wellawaresystem.com. You can see all of our information. It has our Virginia office contact. And I cover pretty much the southern and southwestern markets, and you can always reach me. My cell phone is 804-615-0608.
You're brave to give out your cell phone. All right. Well, Lori, again, thank you for being with us
this
morning. We appreciate it. Great information. And at this point, I'm going to turn it back to you in Atlanta, Sam.
Thank you, Brad. We appreciate it. Lori, thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you.
Joining me today in Atlanta are two individuals from Interim Healthcare. We have Melody Juno, who is an RN and a home care coordinator, and also Yoko Ellison, who is also a home care coordinator. And I'll begin by saying that it's does my heart good for Yoko to be in the studio. We have a long history with Yoko, which we'll allow her to speak to at a later time. Melody, let's begin with you. Why don't you tell us a little bit of your background, who you are, just begin there.
Okay. I am an Atlanta native, and I graduated from Georgia Baptist Nursing School in 1981. I graduated from Georgia State University with a Bachelor of Science in Nursing in 83, and I started my career in pediatrics at Scottish Rite Hospital, which is mm-hmm. now Children's Health Care of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I worked full-time in nursing for about 5 years before a friend convinced me to apply for a sales position with Medtronic. And it was in the neurostimulator division, and I sold TENS units. And from there, I worked for several companies until I finally worked for PharmaThera in 1992 in home infusion. And I was a salesperson there and clinical coordinator. And home infusion is similar to home health, but I worked for PharmaThera for about 10 years. And from there, got into home health in 2003 and finally landed my present position at Interim Healthcare. And I have been with Interim for about 5 years as a home care coordinator.
That's great. Let me take a step back and this is certainly not on topic, but I want to say it anyway. For those who have children and have to have some acute care delivered to the child, Scottish Rite, i.e.
Children's Health Care of Atlanta,
mm-hmm. is superb.
Yes.
I've had personal experience there. It's mm-hmm. it's great. Let's move over to Yoko. Yoko, I'm going to ask you to tell us about your background, and I'm expecting one particular story, so go right ahead.
I was born and raised in Japan, and at the age of 18, I decided that I don't want to live there anymore. So I moved to the United States to go to college. I was in Ohio for 5 years, graduated from a grad school there, went down to Virginia to do a short stint in theater, stage management work. I abandoned that career to move to Georgia, and I started my career in this industry as an activity director at an assisted living, and I moved my way up there. And after a month of job searching and numerous interviews with Brad, he finally agreed to hire me as his salesperson. And I work closely with Brad and also Sam at Griswold Special Care.
That's the story I was looking
yes.
for.
Can you share a little bit about the similarity of working in theater and working for Brad?
A lot of prep work and patience.
That was good. Okay. Let's go back over to Melody. Tell us a little bit about Interim and what is it that you do. I know that that Interim has been in existence for about 44, 45 years.
Right.
Speak to that. Just bring our listeners up to speed on that subject.
Interim Healthcare is one of the oldest home care companies in the country. It was founded in 1966. And it's primarily franchises across the country. There's over 300 franchises. And the Atlanta office is a franchise. We have local owners, Matt and Pat Gilley. And so we are really a small company when you think of the Atlanta branch as being an independent franchise. So we are able to provide care from a local level rather than a large company where you have to go through a lot of red tape. Interim Healthcare provides home health care. We are a Medicare-certified home health agency, And in case you don't know what home health entails, it includes skilled nursing, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, home health aides, and social workers.
Let me interject there for our listening audience. We in the industry use terms that are confusing to us in the industry who are using the terms. So I want to clarify, when we typically speak of home care, my world, we're speaking of what we call non-skilled care, which is convalescent care and activities of daily living, bathing, dressing. On your side of the table, Melanie, when you speak of home care or slash home health care,
right,
you're speaking of a higher level of care, correct?
Right. It's a skill, and we are a certified Medicare agency, mm-hmm, and we follow Medicare guidelines.
Okay. Tell us, on your side of the equation, what type of individual is coming to the home to assist or service the client? What degreed education was?
We have RNs that come into the home to initiate the process for home health, and they typically evaluate the patient, ask a lot of questions, look at their medications. We actually, the home care coordinators, gather the information at the onset, and we get a history and physical from the hospital or the nursing home or wherever they've started out. We gather orders from the doctor. We gather physical therapy information, any other information that might help us to provide quality, consistent care for that patient.
Can you give us an example of a situation that would warrant your level of services? I mean, just, you know, a high-level example of what that may look like.
Just about every patient that comes in the hospital, every geriatric patient that comes in the hospital or the nursing home could use home health when they leave that facility and go home. And that's part of our role, is to help them transition, to make that transition from the hospital or the rehab to home. It might be something as simple as they came in the hospital with a urinary tract infection and they're very weak, or maybe they had a fall, or maybe they had something more severe like a stroke, or maybe they had some kind of surgery like a hip replacement, a knee replacement. But for the most part, seniors who come in the hospital and have even the smallest illness need some kind of home health to help them recover at home.
And when you're in the home, what are you doing? What are you looking for? What's the level of service that you're providing in the home? What are some of the actual activities that you're addressing?
The nurses come in, and when they gather the medication list, they make sure that the patient understands their medications, how they interact, when they are supposed to take them, and sometimes she has to call the physician to make sure that the patient doesn't need their medication changed, mm-hmm, or, you know, she just makes sure that they understand the medications that they're taking. She's assessing the patient's vital signs. If they have a wound, she's assessing the wound and dressing the wound. The physical therapist is coming in and making sure that the patient is safe in the home, and that they understand how to use any assistive devices, such as a walker or a cane or a wheelchair if necessary, and that they're getting up and moving around safely with those devices. And they put them on an exercise program that they can continue to use themselves, and that their caregivers can work with them at home, mm-hmm, to make sure that they're mobile and that they are becoming more independent and they're regaining their strength. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about what it's like for a family who has a senior in the hospital, and then they're at that moment where they have to, where the hospital says, you know, sorry, this is all we can do. Now you have to go home. That must be extremely frightening for the family, and they become panic-ridden, I would imagine. So how do they even know to contact you? Is that something that the hospital people say, hey, call interim, or are they kind of like, what do we do now?
Case managers at the hospital are overseeing the patient's cases, and they will make recommendations to the patient. And if the patient has a company that they would prefer to use. They can tell that to the case manager, but typically they're offering them choices and they will set them up with a home care agency. And at that point, they will then contact us.
Now, so the hospital is contacting you and saying, hey, here's somebody that needs some help at home. Now, from the family's perspective, is this something that is, like, what are they typically asking you and how are they typically feeling? I would imagine overwhelmed.
Yes, a lot of families are very overwhelmed. Not only are they dealing with sometimes their parent or family member who is home alone, so they're not only having to make choices about somebody coming in providing home health, such as what we do, but maybe they need some extra help at home, which is what Griswold does with the private duty home health.
Right. So they may need a combination.
Exactly.
And in their mind, are they thinking in that manner? Or are they thinking like, well, I'll just call Interim, I'll do what everything that the hospital did?
Sometimes they're just at a loss and they need some direction.
Right.
And we can help to educate them about what is available to them, give them the information, and at that point they can make choices about
right.
what is best for their family member.
Well, is there any typical question they ask you? Like, what's their first thing that they didn't know they didn't know?
How often does home health come into the home?
Do they typically think, like, they need you 24-7? Is that their
yes.
instinct? Is like, well, of course
yes.
you're going to be there 24-7.
Right.
And then you got to move them to, like, well, maybe we can come at night or during these day parts.
We have to educate them that home health is somebody that comes in. It's a skilled service. We come in during the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
We come in for an hour at a time, several times a week. We're not there with their family member 24-7.
Right.
Yoko, let's go back to Interim and tell us, in your mind, what makes Interim so special?
As Melody was saying earlier, that our office, Atlanta office, is locally owned, so we have a direct access to the owners, which can cut the red tape real quickly. And we, as the sales reps, when we have questions regarding the patient care, we can ask our supervisors, and then we get the answers right away. So
mm-hmm.
that expedites the patient care. Also, as a small office and locally embedded, we have a quicker turnaround time
mm-hmm.
to see the patient. That's assuring to most of the patients and patient family.
Well, that's got to be a great asset to be able to respond in a more timely manner. Yeah. Yoko, for our listeners who are trying to get an idea of what home health care is and who to use, what recommendations, what should they be looking for in a home health care organization?
First, to make sure that the agency is Medicare accredited, that has the highest standard in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And also they to make sure that the agencies check the clinician's background
mm-hmm.
and to make sure that the clinicians have the home health background.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the nurse has been a nurse for a while, that doesn't mean they are versed in home health care. Quite frankly, the nurses in the hospitals do different duties than the home health nurses. And so to make sure of that, let's see, what else do we have, Melody?
All those things. Definitely, it's important to have people that are, it's all about the clinicians. It's all about the nurses, the physical therapists, the occupational therapists, and how good they are in the home. And we pick the very best people to provide that kind of care to them.
Let me expand on something that Yoko brought up. There is a difference in the service, the level, the kind of service that is provided by an RN in a hospital environment versus that provided by an RN in a home environment. Melanie, can you speak to that? Could you kind of tell us what those differences may be?
Yes. I believe that the person, the RN in the home, has to be flexible in understanding of a variety of things and be willing to call the physician to follow up with what's going on with the patient. The nurses in the hospital have access to those physicians right there. The RN in the home has to be able to evaluate the situation and assess what needs to be done at that time so that they are safe in the home.
It seems to me that they need to have a greater level of discernment and then a higher level of communication in the home environment. Yeah. Tell us what you find so rewarding in what you do.
The reason I chose nursing as a career is because I enjoy helping people. Mm-hmm. And I think that with our aging population, that it is a great reward to help families and individuals with their aging family members become more independent mm-hmm. and become more healthy as they age, to manage the chronic illnesses that they have, and educating those families on the benefits of home health is very rewarding, because so many times they are at a loss of what to do. And we talk to them at a very critical time of their family members' lives when they are sick and they're trying to figure out how to help them recover at home.
Yeah. Yoko, can you address that? You've been in the home setting now for, to my knowledge, at least 6 years, if not longer. What keeps you going?
The same as Melody, that I've been able to help elderly live independently at home. That's, I think, the most valuable thing to me. And also that I am able to do that with the help of a company such as private duty companies, hospitals, discharge planners, skilled nursing facilities, discharge planner, to make that happen for the patient. I think, I get the sense of reward from that, being a part of somebody being independent in the home.
Can you talk a little bit about how it is in Japan? Do you know how they treat the elderly there?
Well, most people live with the elderly. Mm-hmm.
So the family just takes the elderly in, and it's just
exactly.
The family's responsibility?
Such as my grandmother, she is 88, and she would like to live in a nursing home. She made some phone calls. However, she's not quite ill, so to speak.
Right.
And there was just such a high demand in very, very frail population, so she's just automatically out. So she's still living by herself, but she kind of goes from home to home.
To a relative?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But when she is ill, of course, the family member comes to rescue, and many people live close by.
So culturally, the family member feels a responsibility to take care of the elder as long as possible?
Yes. However, it is changing as the generation goes on. More companies are offering private duty services, and I think the assisted livings are popping up mm-hmm. in bigger cities. But it's still, generally, we feel that children are responsible for taking care of their parents.
Melody, I'm going to ask a question, and I'll allow you to beg out the question right now. With this healthcare referendum that's coming down the pike and to be implemented in 2014, from where I sit and what I see, there's going to be some drastic changes in the way that acute healthcare is being delivered. Can you at some level talk about what that may look like? Does Interim have any idea of what home health care may look like at that point, or do you have any thoughts about that?
The new buzzword right now is transitional care, mm-hmm. and the hospitals are really involved in this because they are actually going through something where they're not going to be paid for certain diseases if a patient is readmitted for that disease within 30 days. So in home health, we are assisting the hospitals with this and trying to make sure that these patients who go home with CHF, coronary heart disease, or COPD, lung disease, that they stay home and they're not readmitted to the hospital. So we have a whole plan in place for transitional care as well.
Let me expand that, and this is the point I'm trying to make. And I don't remember the statistic. Lee, you might remember it. The national statistic is that of those at age 65 or older, some tremendous percentage, 40 or 50%, whatever the number is readmitted within 30 days upon a discharge from an acute setting. I agree with what you're saying, that the what's coming down the pike is that hospitals that have a high readmittance rate, according to whatever the parameters are going to be, quote, docked for that poor, that poor readmission rate. And my view is it's going to place more emphasis on people like you, the skilled agency at home, not only to work with the facility, but to be a care manager in that home. Now, I've asked a question, answered it, and I'll let you comment on it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a lot of that also involves just communication, which sometimes we have a hard time with in healthcare. Making sure that the patient, when they go home, follow up with their primary care physician, making sure that when they have any symptoms that warrant calling the physician, that they do so, making sure that they do things to manage their chronic illness. And, of course, you have to deal with people who just really don't want to do certain things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me expand that for our listeners. And Interim has started formulating a base plan as to how to deal with those new changes. Okay. Yoko, is there any special causes or organizations that you personally or that Interim is involved in that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I have been involved with the Alzheimer's Association. When I worked for Griswold Special Care, that's what I've done each year to raise money and to support the organization. I think that INRUM is involved with Atlanta Heart American Heart Association, and also the American Diabetes Association. Any disease, the organization that is associated with elderly, we would like to support.
Good, good. I'm going to ask whichever of you want to respond. We always like to hear stories. Do either of you have a warm and fuzzy story that you could tell our listeners?
Anytime we are able to help with a family who's at a loss is always a good feeling. But sometimes the patients are not aware that some of these services that we're providing is 100% covered by Medicare. And when the family finds out that there is a help through their, sort of speak, insurance policy, I see the sigh and relief in their faces, and that makes me feel better.
Good, good. That's great. Madeline, let me ask you this. For our listeners who might be planning for some type of acute care coming out of the facility or thinking about that they might need a skilled agency in their home, what piece of advice could you give those?
I think the most important thing that I can tell the consumer is that you have a choice in your health care. You have a choice in your physician. You have a choice in your home health. And it is very important for you to be educated about your health and all your options.
Yoko?
And do the research now. As we all know, we think we're not going to get sick. However, one day we will. And you're empowered with the information that you have already when you go into the hospital and talk to the case managers or the rehab discharge planner. When you're presented with the the list of the agencies that you have to choose, you already know which company that you like to work with, and that makes the transition much smoother.
That's great. I got to expand up on that. For our listeners, that's vitally important. Usually you're in a very stressful, high anxiety period of your life. That's not the time to try to be making specific decisions. The time to do that is before. You need to be proactive. And that way, when you're in that situation, then it just flows. I've seen it too many times. Yoko, I know she's sitting here. Both of you are nodding your heads in agreement. It's a very difficult time in individuals' lives. We certainly thank you for that that advice. How could the listeners reach you or reach Interim if they would like to make contact?
Our office number is 404-843-2708. And anyone is welcome to call me personally on my cell phone, which is 678-468-6096.
Good. Yoko, any additional contact information?
Yes, my cell phone number is 678-471-3369. And also the website is interimhealthcare.com/Atlanta.
We certainly appreciate that information. It's good content for our listeners. Thank you both for being on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for today. We certainly thank our guest for being with us. We thank you for tuning in today and listening to this broadcast. And if you wish to re-listen to this or pull it down, you can do so on our website, which is eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, if the youth of our nation are its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and have a great day. God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.